We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Well, to me, it's a TBD in the back end. You know, let's see how this secondary grows and comes together and really health. You know, can Richard Sherman get back to what he was? I think the sneaky good signing is Jason Verrett, because you talk to anybody with the Chargers, you know, and when he's been healthy, and that's been a major, major issue, but when he's been healthy, he's played an elite level. If they could get something out of him this year, keep him healthy with some of the other young players they have, that would give me hope there. I definitely think I'd put their front, and when you look at what they have at linebacker, bringing in Quan Alexander to join Fred Warner, he was one of the better young linebackers in the NFL. You've got Malcolm Smith. I feel really good about what they have in the front seven. I just think you're going to need to see the health and see this secondary come together. There's a lot of pressure on them. They've got to find a way to make some plays.
Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network with Jolo and Dibs on 95.7. The game last year, the Rams were by far and away the best team in the NFC West. They made it all the way to the Super Bowl, where they came up just short against Brady and the New England Patriots. Todd Gurley battling some knee issues. Ndamukong Suh is gone. Are they still the best team in the NFC West? And if so, by how much of a margin?
I do think they're still the best team in the division, but I think you can make a strong case that the gap closed, and not just, you know, with the 49ers. I think Seattle has got a chance to be a little bit better, and obviously Arizona can't get worse. So it's going to be a more competitive division. But, you know, I just look at the combination of really three things. You look at the head coach with Sean McVay and the innovation he has offensively. You look at the quarterback who's continuing to emerge and get better and better and had a great year last year in Jared Goff. And then I always look at the pass rush. And look, Ndamukong Suh was a nice piece and helped them against the run, but that's a one-man band when it comes to the pass rush, and there's nobody better than Aaron Donald. So getting him and having Dante Fowler for a full season lining up next to him, I still think they'll be pretty effective there. And I think their secondary is the best in the division, and I think it's the best in the division by a pretty good margin.
We've had a bit of a debate here internally about the opening of the Niners' schedule, two games on the road at Tampa Bay and at Cincinnati. How do you size up those two early road opponents for a Niner team that was 0-8 last year on the road?
Well, I mean, Tampa is scary, and Tampa's a team nobody's talking about, but when we're just talking about the question mark for the 49ers being the back end, well, you're going to get challenged, because this is a team that chucks it all over the place and was very, very effective last year throwing the football. And now you bring in Bruce Arians, who's going to want to really get vertical in that passing game. So we'll find out what that 49ers secondary looks like real early. Look, you never want to, when you get to the Bengals, you never want to slight a team. You know, that whole adage, you can't overlook anybody, but
sure,
they're not very good. I mean, they're not going to be very good. That's a game you have to win early in the season.
Yeah, I'm in the same church as you, Jeremiah. I think that those two games, very winnable. Tampa's going to be interesting. Let's talk about the offensive side of the ball, and particularly a guy by the name of Kittle. What do you think about him? What's the upside for him? Have we seen his ceiling? What do you think that Kyle Shanahan's going to be able to do to scheme? Because you know people are going to double him, bracket coverage, do different things. Who else on that offense gives you a little hope?
Well, he's the short answer. He's emerged as one of the best. You know, he's in the conversation, especially with Rob Gronkowski out of the league right now. You start the conversation with Kelce in Kansas City, and I think Kittle's probably the next name on the list. I mean, he's that good, and he's a two-way guy, helping in the run game, and then he can run everything. He can stretch the field down the seam. He's got a good feel working on option routes. And with this offense, this hand-to-hand offense, with all those stretch boots and all the different deep over and crossing routes, he can really get moving. So I don't think his production is going to really see any dip, even with teams trying to focus on him. And when you look at the emerging players, man, I look at the rookie class. I'm excited to see Deebo Samuel and how creative they are at using him and all the things he can do. You talk about somebody you can run those jet sweeps to. You can get him, flip him the ball on some bubbles, just get the ball in his hands real early and let him run after the catch, which he does extremely well. it's going to be fun to see how he's utilized. And I think Dante Pettis has a chance to continue to emerge as one of the best young deep threats. If you look at what Robbie Anderson has kind of developed into with the Jets, I think Dante Pettis has a very similar skill set.
Do you have a comp for Deebo Samuel? I know it's putting you on the spot, but you watch these guys as closely as anyone. For Niner fans who are unfamiliar with his work at South Carolina, is there a veteran he reminds you of?
Yeah, a young veteran. But if you look at Curtis Samuel and being drafted by the Carolina Panthers, same exact build, same type of player, in that you just want to get the ball in his hands and let him go. And I think you saw him emerge last year as a really, really good player. I think you're going to see a similar trajectory there for Deebo. He's just ultra, ultra competitive. And maybe 10 years ago in the NFL, you scout guys like this and you go, man, he's kind of a tweener. Is he a running back? Is he a receiver? And now that it doesn't matter, because you can just flip the ball to these guys and get it in their hands and let them go. And the NFL has finally adapted what the college teams have been doing for a long time.
All right, check him out on Twitter, at Move the Sticks. That's also the name of the podcast he does with Bucky Brooks. It's a great listen, Move the Sticks. From the NFL Network, former scout Daniel Jeremiah with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. DJ, we know you're busy this time of year, but thank you so much for your time and insight. Great stuff, man.
I appreciate you guys. I'm glad football's finally here, man. It's been a long offseason.
Yes, sir. We second that. Take care. Man, I don't like hearing that, but it's a great point when – you're talking about Bosa, and then you ask him, and he's like, the number that matters most is 16.
Right.
Will he play all 16 games? And it's like, damn, I don't really want to have that conversation, but that's a great conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an important number.
And that's why I was asking about the depth pieces maybe helping that come to pass, because you're not going to expect him to play, what, 90% of the snaps out there in any particular game, because you do have some depth pieces, and you hope that the other guys can come in and give him some rest, and you don't have that much of a drop-off, because he hit on the area that I'm most concerned about with this team, is the secondary. And we will find out early on, Lo, when you go up against A.J. Green and you got Mike Evans in Tampa Bay, and Bruce Arians, a guy who wants to get vertical.
And
I thought that was a good point he made about, you know, the pass rush in the secondary being tested early on in the season.
He was right. And I love what he said, though, too. He talked about Jason Verrett. Talk about a guy, when he's wealthy, he's hell. When he's well, he's hell. And that's just like Nicky Bosa and the Bosa family. When those guys are well, they're some of the best that's in the business. So you look at Verrett, here's a guy that can go out there and play, you know, an amicable amount of time at the corner position. So if you have him, and then you look at, you know, another guy who's Richard Sherman, who's 2 years removed from the Achilles, I think that you do have a respectable secondary that can get a lot of things done for you, especially in man coverage. If these guys are healthy, I think that you have a pretty good secondary, especially when it comes down to corners, two corners that can cover.
Yeah, I think that was really eloquently put there. And it was very an astute point you made. I'd like you to elaborate a little bit more if you have time.
No, I don't. So we're on to Cincinnati.
That's but, true. He actually doesn't have much time.
We're on to Cincinnati.
For the billions out there who are listening, we love you and we thank you for your support. One thing you didn't see, which you might be able to catch at 9 o'clock when we go live on the stream, 957thegame.com, you can watch the 9 o'clock hour each and every day, was these two fighting each other in the middle of Daniel Jeremiah's interview, yelling, screaming back and forth to the point where I have to turn my mic off so your words don't come through my mic, and then you turning on your phone and just a cacophony of sound pouring out of it.
Yeah.
What was so important on that phone?
Oh, nothing came out on the phone. True friend.
I was hearing sound from somewhere.
Alpha wasn't on my
phone.
Well,
my phone.
I don't think it was you.
No,
you were involved fighting with him, but you.
Well, it's because he was accusing me of a leading question, because I mentioned that the Niners were 0-8 on the road last year, and might these first two road games be somewhat of a challenge? And so he was accusing me of a leading question. Then he comes out and says, "Yes, Jeremiah," which I thought was amusing because it's the man's last name. And he proceeded to ask Daniel Jeremiah not one, not two, not three, but four questions at once. And so we were going back and forth on who was the better interviewer of the two.
Is that what that was about?
True
the
friend.
The rare quadruple parter.
Jeremiah, just one question in four parts.
Never said one question.
I know. That's what we are going back and forth about.
Compound question.
As always, you can hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. I'm sure you'd find a way to out through the conversation taking place in here at the current moment.
You said you guys are hilarious. That's what the 408s.
All this nonsense. Thanks, 408. So happy. So happy for that comment. All of it brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Giants, Mets tonight. Deebo Samuel, what to expect. A lot of Niner stuff coming up as well. It's Show Low and Dibs, but first, here's nice guy Stephen Langford with what's coming up on the game.
Thank you, Joe. And this very amicable update is brought to you by Dialpad. Baseball in the Bay is exciting. Giants completed the four-game sweep of the Rockies, the first time they've done so since 2011. Bumgarner gets the start in the first of three against the Mets. How will their performance this month affect the Giants at the trade deadline? Well, Bonte Steine and JD will talk to Joe Girardi about that at 12, while Damon and Darren Smith will talk to manager Bruce Bochy about this run at 3:30. NFL Insider Week continues here at 95.7 The Game, as Adam Kaplan will also join Damon and Darren Smith at 3 o'clock. Big guest lineup for the Damon Bruce Show today. And a little golf update. Shane Lowry still atop the Open Championship leaderboard at 4-under. Dialpad is changing the game for business communication. Host calls and meetings in the cloud. Put a business line on your cell phone and get analytics to make every call smarter. Over 60,000 businesses trust Dialpad to bring their phone system into the 21st century. Visit dialpad.com. More amicability by Joe Lowe and Dibs coming up. I'm Stephen Langford on the Bay Area's number one sports station. That's 95.7 The Game.
95.7 The Game has a stacked lineup. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 6 to 10.
Game, wait for it, changer. Hashtag delightful.
Bonte Steine and Guru, 10 to 2.
He hits it high. He hits it deep. It's out of here.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky, 2 to 6.
I'm not a big paper improvement guy in football. I got to see it the next year. I got to see four games.
Three-man shows. Different personalities, different opinions. The Bay Area's number one sports station. 95.7. The Game.
In the place to be. Oh, yeah.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Nice guy, Stephen Langford. Turn the microphone on. It's you did. Look at this. It's like a 12-part process.
I just took a handful of sunflower seeds and then had to spit them back out into the trash.
That's all right. You can turn the microphone off.
Damn.
I was trying to tell you, don't follow the text line. Chill not by text line 95795. It could be a beautiful thing. You did a nice job in the debate 20 or so minutes ago. You held up admirably.
Five out of a billion is a good ratio.
Don't let the clown patrol in here make you feel bad about that.
He really went on a 3-minute point about how I got buried. He had a start, a beginning.
Who's he?
Well, he had a beginning, a middle, and an end as to how I got buried.
Was this during the break?
Yeah, it took 2.5 minutes. Oh, no, on the air. As soon as it happened.
How about Dibs? What did Dibs do to you out in the break?
I mean, it was just being amicable.
What did you do?
I just asked him when the last time the A's won the NL was. Just to joke around. Because he had some great comebacks 22 minutes later. And he was lamenting that in real time.
So he went out there and he was giving you the material, the good stuff.
Yeah,
he was
giving
me material at the break.
He was giving me the comebacks that he wished he had back at 7:45.
Right. The thought of that whole thing is Lo is essentially the homeless guy who defecates on the sidewalk and walks away. That's exactly what happened there. Lo pulled down his pants, went to the bathroom, and then looked around and was like, I'm not cleaning this up. And he walked away. That's exactly what happened. Because you started that whole mess.
I did.
And then when the debate got hot, your mic went up and went off and you just got out of there.
I started
homeless guy goes to the bathroom because he needs to relieve himself. And then he takes off. And then it's on the rest of us as a society to clean up that mess. That's what this show was.
Joe,
Diz, I and Langford were society. You were the homeless guy.
No. I did start it.
Yeah.
But I didn't finish it. I did start a conversation.
Hence the analogy of pooping on the sidewalk and walking away. You started it. You didn't finish it.
Doo-doo.
Well, it got hot. It got hot. So I just backed out. You made some great points. And I'm on to Cincinnati.
Hence the homeless guy pooping on the sidewalk and then leaving.
Okay, I get
it.
That's
what happened there. All right. Back to content.
Please. My man.
Do we even have content? I'm looking around here trying to figure this out. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, former NFL South, joined us in the last segment. Talked about Bosa, Niners chance, all that good stuff. As we find ourselves, I believe, 9 days from the first practice, 8 days from when the Niners will report. Something he said, Dibs, you brought up the schedule, the struggles on the road last year. They open up with 2 road games at Tampa, at Cincy. Jeremiah is the first guy to say this. Quote, Tampa is scary. He thinks Tampa's going to be good. Now, I'm not saying he's predicting them to go to the Super Bowl. That's not what happened there. I have not given Tampa a lot of respect. I think even though it's the first game of the season and it's going to be a good game, a daunting challenge, I don't think Tampa is a top third team. I don't think they're a top half team. But if he's coming on and he's saying that about the Bucks, I'm wondering if I have to reassess my position in all this. Like, where do you land on Tampa Bay? I know we like Bruce Arians, but he's got a big project in front of him.
Yeah, when famous Jameis came in the league, you and I were like, man, this guy, you know, he's a gunslinger. He takes chances. He can throw the ball, but he'll throw a lot of picks. And thus far in his career, you saw the different things. He didn't handle maturity. He didn't handle it well. He did not handle it well. Still out partying, doing a lot of different things, still caught up in other things, thinking that didn't understand the importance of when you're a quarterback and you're drafted into a franchise, you are instantly the face of the franchise, whether you want to be or not, and you're held to a different standard. And Jameis didn't take that in consideration, out partying, doing a bunch of different deals, and you saw him struggle. You saw Fitzmagic come in, and the team, you saw him kind of divide, didn't want to go back to Jameis. So you had some talent there. We talk about their defense, all the different players they had on defense and offense, you know. So they had some talent. It's a matter of could they get over the hump? Evidently, the front office believed that they had talent. So what'd they do? They got and fired the coach. They bring in another coach in Bruce Arians, who we all believe is a good coach. So the talent's there. It's a matter, do we trust the guys that they have on the field? Can Bruce Arians be the master chef to get Jameis to do the right thing? Is he still going to be the main ingredients? The quarterback is your main ingredients in any course meal. He's that staple. Is Jameis that? I think that's still yet to be proven.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Bruce was in Pittsburgh working on the development of Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes.
He was in Indianapolis working on the development of Andrew Luck. And then he was in Arizona with, I want to say, Carson Palmer, and I'm not sure who else. But he got a lot out of all those quarterbacks. Now, Luck was probably going to be pretty good, as was Roethlisberger regardless. But that's not to say they couldn't have gotten off to slower starts without Bruce. So he's done quite a good job, given his track record, with NFL quarterbacks. So you'd like to believe that he's going to be able to help out a guy like Winston. I look at Winston's numbers, though. Career 61% completion percentage. It's gotten a little bit better each year. Topped out last year at 64%. You know, he was suspended, so he didn't play as many games, but he still threw more interceptions last year than he did the year before. I just think the opportunity is there where you're not going to need to have this A-level effort to win this game. You're going to need to avoid big mistakes. Don't allow any jailbreak plays on special teams. Don't allow any huge meltdowns on defense. Let your offense go out and establish the tone. You've got plenty of weapons, and I think you come out of Tampa Bay with a win. I know we're talking about this very early, but Jeremiah made an interesting point. When you're talking about Tampa being scary, I now feel like I got to recalibrate because I respect the guy's opinion.
Right, and Move the Sticks is the Twitter handle and a great podcast. And you look at Byron Leftwich there as a new offensive coordinator as well, a quarterback who had somewhat of a similar arc as Jameis Winston, the guy who was known as a big-time thrower who had to gradually become a better quarterback in the National Football League, and he's gone on now to be a good coordinator. So you look at Bruce Arians having all this offseason to work with Jameis Winston, not only on the maturity, and that really is the intangible in all this. You don't know if he's going to be able to grow up overnight, so to speak, but you look at the coaching staff that's working with him, and I look at the weapons that they have on offense, not only Mike Evans, but a couple of good tight ends, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, guys who are going to test this Niner secondary as well.
I'm throwing this out there. I know you haven't even thought about it, so I just want to see where you're at now. No one's locked in. Who wins the backup quarterback battle, Mullins or Beathard?
It's Mullins.
You going Mullins?
Yeah, it's Mullins. I think he showed you enough last year. He showed you the same level of toughness that C.J. Beathard showed you, but a little bit more skill. I think it's Nick Mullins who wins it.
It's probably going to be Beathard. You got to realize this is the, you know.
His line is going to be, it's probably going to be Mullins if you go Beathard. I like that.
Make your case. make it.
You got to realize.
This is a preliminary conversation on the matter.
Yeah, you got to look at the talent. When Mullins came in, what did he have? A little bit more than Beathard. Beathard, you got to realize the pedigree that he come from. Bobby Beathard was a GM down in San Diego. Mm. So you got to realize.
Hall of Famer. He went in the last Hall of Fame class.
Yeah, so pedigree and the different things. And I think when you surround those things, those kind of things kind of add, kind of switches the table a little bit to Beathard. So I think there's some other things that's going to help Beathard in his case.
Nicely done. That's going to be an interesting positional battle to watch.
It really is.
We got a bunch of positional battles. All that will be coming in the near future as we get closer to the start of camp. Niners report in 8 days, first practice is in 9 days. All right. Do we have a highlight we could play from what took place at Colorado yesterday? Take your time. I can fill it with some words. You got it? Go ahead.
Vote! High drive to right! It is out of here! And the Giants retake the lead.
Man, if you play for the Rockies, I don't know how you face your family this morning. I really don't. That was as thorough, Henry David Thoreau of a butt kicking, as you're ever going to find in your entire life. Yesterday, the Giants complete the four-game sweep at Mile High. 11-8 is your final. The Orange and Black have now won 12 of their last 14, during which time they have outscored the opposition 115-58. That is a run differential of plus 57. The Giants are averaging 8.2 runs per game over this 14-game stretch. They've won five straight. They return home for a four-game series that begins tonight against the Metropolitans of New York. It's going to be Bumgarner versus Syndergaard in a rematch of the 2016 NL wildcard game that the Giants won 3-0. Bumgarner pitched a complete game shutout, just four hits. Syndergaard went seven strong, giving up only two hits with no runs and 10 strikeouts. Let's begin with the current state of the Giants. Four-game sweep at Colorado. I mean, we're starting to run out of adjectives and superlatives for this team.
Right. It's beyond unexpected when you go to a place where you haven't been able to win in a couple of years and you sweep a team in a four-game series. And just the whole road trip in general, you go 6-1 on a Milwaukee and a Colorado trip. With this team, you would have been thinking before, you know, if we can go 3-4 or maybe 4-3 at the outset, you go 6-1. And the way you did it, it started in Milwaukee on that Friday night, where you were able to get a solo home run from Brandon Crawford off an unhittable Josh Hader from Milwaukee. You force extras, Buster hits the grand slam, and you're thinking, oh, wow, what a great way to come out of the All-Star break. Then you go on, you lose Saturday in a tough one, and you figure, okay, this is the Giants team we all know. And then you rip off five in a row, and it's the way they're doing it. Yesterday, you pound out 17 hits. All eight of your regular position players get a hit. Donovan Solano, who? With four hits. Seriously, if I would have said Donovan Solano 8 weeks ago, nobody would have known the first thing about him. And maybe that's the real name of Solano County, for crying out loud. Is that who Solano County was named after? Maybe not. Now all of a sudden the guy's being called Donnie Baseball because he comes in.
Donnie with an I, though.
Yes, and he's absolutely raking. And you see yesterday the assault offensively, and you mentioned 8.2 runs a game. This is beyond extraordinary. This is record-breaking for this Giants team.
Remember when we were making jokes about how these guys couldn't do anything in the first inning? Like, yeah, they're the most brutal first-inning team of all time. They still rank 29th in Major League Baseball in first-inning production, right, in terms of runs. Only the Marlins are worse. But in this 14-game stretch, the Giants have scored 13 runs in the first inning. Six of the 14 games have featured at least one run in the first inning. Blink and you might miss it. Like yesterday, I didn't even realize the game had started. I was trying to knock out like two, three things. I had it on the TiVo, so it was going to be delayed, but or whatever you call it, DVR, I don't know. Either way, I'm looking at Twitter. Oh, shoot, the game started. I forgot about that. Go to Twitter. 3-0. 3-0 right out of the chute. Like that was a game they could have easily just laid down. They could have easily packed it and said, we've taken 3 of 4. We're cooking. Let's just get out of here. Go back. Get ready for this Mets series. And no, they came out firing on all cylinders. And even when the game got a little bit dicey, they added more runs to the equation.
They did. And even if you don't even look at last night, go two nights ago when they had to go come some extra innings, had a chance to give it up. But no, what'd they do? Fought back, showed that they can still scratch. They have that bravado about this team right now that they're just really, really playing at a very, very high level. They took it to Colorado. Yesterday at the end of the show, we talked about it, and I made the analogy about, you know, reason why I was taking the Giants. Dibs was thinking, hey, maybe Colorado. I talked about a two-piece. Come in, someone hit you, boom, they hit him twice. You hit him twice, next time they hit you three times or four times. You saw that in this series that the Giants – kept on hitting them. They would try to strike back, and the Giants just kept taking their wheel. That last game, you looked at it and said, man, the Giants just want it more. And you got to look at the one part. And when you look at baseball and you think about why they're able to do certain things, you look at the RBIs, run batted in. You look at Parr. He's got 51. You look at, you know, Joe Panic, 25. You look at go down the line. You're starting to see also not just from home runs, but you also look at the RBIs, how many runs these guys will be able to bat in. How many times last year and the year before, we're talking about leaving guys on the bases, leaving putting guys on stranded on the pond. Now what are they able to do? They're able to manufacture runs. I love this Giant team. What they've been able to do, Joe, in this last little couple
months. A load of crap. Just wrap it up with all the singing and the dancing and the twisting and the turning. You know exactly what you're doing. You heard of StatCast. That was low cast. You guys want to talk about RBIs, runs batted in, that is. Oh, here we go. Please tell me more. Yeah, but this is the type of conversation you can have. You can have fun with it because it's fun baseball right now. 14-game stretch. Listen to this. If you were just betting them, if you were just betting them blindly through this 14-game stretch, you put $100 on the Giants in every game. You don't add any. You don't take any away. You just put $100 on the Giants every single game. First and foremost, they go 12-2. All right? In those 14 games, they were only favorites twice. So you're getting plus money in 12 situations. They are outscoring the opposition by an average of 4.07 runs per game. There are teams in the NBA, good teams, playoff teams. I think the Sixers are one of them. I don't even think the Sixers outscored the opposition by 4 points per game this past year. And the Giants are outscoring the opposition by 4 runs per game in this stretch. Like I said, an underdog in 12 of the 14. If you laid $100 on all 14 games, you'd be up $1,470.65 right now. The overs are 10-3-1 in that stretch as well. I mean, just blindly betting these guys, and they're cashing. And here's the interesting part about tonight. They opened as a favorite, small favorite with Bumgarner on the mound. Then immediately the money swung to New York. Early money came in, put the Mets in a small favorite position, and now it swung back, depending on where you look, but the Giants are a small favorite. Like, this is every bit what you want to see on a Vegas odds board when it comes to a much-anticipated baseball game. Two aces, two teams that are playing well, and an odds board that's pinging back and forth between small favorites. Clearly, there's an opinion on this game tonight, but clearly the prevailing opinion is that it should be a good one and it should be tightly contested.
Yes, but the way this team has been hitting, you'd have to think about the over as opposed to the under with two great pitchers, because the Giants, over that same 14-game stretch you talked about, they've had more than 10 hits in 9 of those 14 games. Just for some context, I think they have 18 or 19 10-hit games for the entire season. So more than half of their big output games have come during this stretch. And oh, by the way, one of the times during this 14-game stretch where they didn't get to 10 hits, they had 2 hits against St. Louis, a game that they still won 1-0. So even if the bats go quiet tonight, there's a possibility that Bumgarner can pitch him well and keep him in a game like this.
I am 100% with you. Not to spoil Bet 162, which comes up at the end of the show right around 9:50, but the over-under is sitting at 7. 7. That is an extremely low over-under, especially for a team that's on this type of run offensively. So you'd ask yourself, why is that the case? Well, look at the starting pitchers. Most people will look at an odds board, especially when it comes to baseball, and they'll see Bumgarner, and they'll see Syndergaard, and they'll think, ooh, this is going to be a pitching matchup. Not so fast. The over is 6-2 in Syndergaard's last 8 starts. For those who haven't noticed, he's not pitching that well this year. Still a stud, but not nearly as consistent as he's been. You can tag him up. And then, oh, by the way, we all know the season of Bumgarner. He's been solid as of late. I think his last 3 starts have been really solid, but he's been a little shaky at times. The Dodgers got into him not too long ago. Meanwhile, the Mets, 7th in Major League Baseball in OPS against left-handed pitching. So they can rake in this situation. I'm doing exactly what you're doing, Dibs. I'm looking over. I'm looking over big. This might be a 3-unit over come 9:50 this morning.
Wow.
Yeah. And that might be one of those situations.
That might be enough to put you back in the positive, right? Because you're getting, I mean, not to tip the hand here early, but
No, it's okay.
You're getting
minus 127, right there at the bubble right now, down 127. A win of 2 units or more today would put us back in the positive as we get very close. Today's game number 97. We're getting ready to turn the corner here for the final 62 games of the season. We're going to get ourselves into triple digits.
Yeah, marching toward the finish line. And you look at a team, and you mentioned Syndergaard, ERA of 4.55 this year, which is even higher than I thought it was. And he's given up 14 home runs. I know the Oracle Park's not a big-time homer park, but the Giants are swinging a hot bat right now. Before that 14-game stretch that we keep referencing, the Giants were hitting .224 as a team. .224. That is so dreadful as a team to have that batting average be that low. Sure. It's gone up 14 points, Coach, over the last 14 games. And so you look at them.
They're raking.
You look at them hitting .238, and you think, well, that's not great either, but that's the highest their batting average has been unless you go all the way back to, well, never this year, because they opened up batting .167. So they've reached the high watermark offensively at .238, and the way they're swinging it, you can't help but think it's going to keep climbing.
Yeah, and you look at this team, and you think about, okay, when did this start getting rolling? You think about, you go back when they took on San Diego back in, you know, July and won that series. You think, you know, against the Padres. But now you're seeing a team, you know, the Mets, a team that's playing pretty decent. They got 44 wins. I just want to see how they play now when you're playing against a team that's supposed to be lesser than you, that a team with a losing record. You've been always, you know, you look at where they're at with Colorado. They started that series. Colorado was ahead of them. You look at the Padres. They were ahead of them. Now they're starting, you know, they played some teams that you know, that people didn't give them a chance. Now you're in a team and people are starting to take notice of who you are and what you've been able to do in this period of time, the second half of the season. So teams now, how much more are they going to be able to get up for it? And the Mets are, you know, they're out there trying to get, you know, make some noise too. So it's really, really going to be a fascinating series. And I want to see if the Giants don't have any letdowns, especially right now. You look at Madison, they understand that he's on the trading block. Guys understand that. Are they going to go out too hard and say, God, let's do this for Madison. Let's go win this for him. Is he going to put undue pressure on him? You know, Syndergaard's in the same situation. So I think this game is very, very interesting. Don't have necessarily a lean on it today.
Well, you better get one. This is one of those games you have to bet. It's not one of those ones that's, it's a pass. We're in. Everybody's in. Everyone's in. Max bet. Degenerate special. It's Thursday. That's what we do on Thursdays around here.
And taking
Mondays
the Mets.
And Wednesdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
Taking the Mets. Why?
Hell, I just.
Why? Gonna need a reason.
Yeah, the reason is.
Better not be an RBI count.
No. I think the reason.
That's runs batted in, by the way, for those of you scoring at home.
Rib eyes, as they call them.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. I think that we all have to be realistic here. And can we sit here and say they've been on the road?
I'll be realistic.
They've been
on the Mets.
Okay. That's what they've been on the road. I know it's the Mets. I get it. 44 wins, 48 wins. But you got to realize, they've been on the road. So is the Mets on the road. They played good in Colorado, a hitter-friendly park. Now you're coming back home. You know, everything.
Move the fences in tonight. You think we can get that done before first pitch?
Now, if we did, now you're talking about something.
Just get a bulldozer out there and bulldoze the whole arcade.
Yeah.
Take it right down.
Just that little Yankee short porch and right.
Yeah. So I'm betting it's for that reason, Daniel. I'm going to be listening to see where you're at. You got to make a stand too. Where are you at?
Well, I don't necessarily have to make a stand on the side. I think the over's the play.
We're going to pick in teams.
The Giants, Coach. It's going to be the Giants.
Yeah, you can have your best bet, yep. And then you also have to have your pick for who wins the game. You might as well do that.
My best bet is going to be no run in the first inning. I nailed it yesterday with a run in the first inning. I don't know how heavily juiced it was.
Nice. Hey, winners are winners.
Winners are winners.
Winner, winner.
Today
dinner.
I would go on the no run in the first, but I think eventually this game goes over late. I think the Giants win. Right now, you look at the way they're playing. They're hitting great in the way they're behaving and acting. You see them in the dugout when somebody homers or when they score. They line up on either side and a guy goes down the tunnel and it's high fives. And it's the spirit of the room. You look at the comments from Stephen Vogt after the game yesterday and he's talking about how everyone there knows the situation, but they're just playing to win the day. They're playing relaxed. They're playing for each other. And that's a dangerous thing when you have a team that's that hot offensively and has this great at chemistry. So I'm going with the Giants.
Listen to the hit total since the 14-game run started. 13 hits, 14 hits, 17 hits, 9 hits, 7 hits, 11 hits, 2 hits. That was in a 1-0 win over St. Louis. Did you do this earlier?
I just ran through it. I didn't go game by game, but I saw that 2 and thought, ooh, that must have been a... Oh, no, wait, they won that game.
No, they won it. Then they came back and they got 10 hits, 7 hits, 11 hits, 21 hits, 6 hits, 14 hits, 18 hits, 20, 41, 50... 59 hits in the four-game series against Colorado.
Right.
59 hits in a four-game series. Like, if you're the Rockies, how do you even bother showing your face in town? That was humiliating. The Giants, I can't remember the last time I watched the Giants kick someone's rear end that bad over the course of any series. They've had sweeps, but I mean, come from behind, blowouts, dogfights, teams getting tight, and then you find in a way to blast them in extra innings.
Yeah.
59 hits over four games. I mean, it took all of May to get 59 hits, probably.
Most likely.
Not, but, you know, just no. context.
No, you could go through, like, the first 14 games of the year, and you'd be hard-pressed to find more than a couple 10-hit games from this team. And to the point of their batting average now being .238, right. highest of the season.
Took until game 16.
For them to even get a 10-hit game.
Here's how it opened. 5-6-9-2-9-9-6-8-8-5-5-7-7-6-8. 11 against guess who? Can anyone nail it?
Oh, boy. Arizona?
Let's go Padres.
Guess what? It's the Rockies.
Yeah, dibs. It's right in our face.
So maybe it's a Colorado thing.
Yeah, exactly. Guess who? Gave us the look. Like,
I know. We should have known. Well, the answer we always know, like, is Michael Jordan. On
yes,
this. We got to go with Michael Jordan on all these trivia questions.
In baseball,
questions.
The answer is always the Rockies.
All right. Now
it's
we know.
Always the Rockies.
Now we know. You look at the pace, Joe, and they're on pace to score 724 runs, which would be more than 120 passing last year's total. So you look at the recency bias, yes, they've been hitting the cover off the ball, but all year, other than that slow start, their offensive totals have been way up.
Oh, man. Okay, so here's where the conversation takes a bit of a downturn. You have some fun with it. You get ready to preview tonight, but then you do have to visit the news of the day, which came yesterday, courtesy of Jeff Passan from ESPN. I'm going to read directly from his trade deadline piece. Number 7 in the piece centers around Madison Bumgarner. Quote, a player who has meant even more to their organization than Zach Greinke to his. San Francisco's recent success isn't throwing a wrench in the team's trade Bumgarner and all the relievers plan. Even with their best run of the year, the Giants are 3 games below .500 and have the 3rd worst run differential in the National League. They are selling. One more time, a bit slower, they are selling, which is a difficult thing to pitch to a fan base and clubhouse of players who are enjoying this winning stuff. It goes on to talk about a variety of moves that could be made with Bumgarner. Minnesota has mentioned they've obviously been interested. It also mentions that about a month ago, the Giants tried to jump the trade deadline, to use Passan's words, and move Bumgarner, but the market wasn't where they wanted, so they decided they'd hold pat. So again, as much as it stings, and it does sting, this winning, if it's going to continue past July 31st, it's going to have to continue without Bumgarner, without Will Smith, and possibly others, unless for some reason the Giants find an ice-cold market for both guys, which I highly doubt is going
to
be the case.
And then you have to look at, if you're looking to still compete in the race, you have to look at VORP, low, which we talked about RBI before, but value over replacement player. And if you look at this team and their ability to replace the players who might depart, I think they have a strong ability to do so. If Will Smith is gone, Mark Melancon becomes the closer. He's pitching as well as he has as a San Francisco Giant. To me, the drop-off is not that severe. If you trade Tony Watson, you can bring in Derek Holland, who's been unbelievably tough on lefties out of the bullpen. Sam Dyson goes, that becomes Reyes Maranta's chance to step in and be the real setup guy. The tough one is Madison Bumgarner, because what that would do if he was traded or when he's traded, everyone in the rotation then shuffles up, and all of a sudden now you need Tyler Beattie to be reliable, and Sean Anderson has got to be impactful, and you still go with Rodriguez, Pomerantz, and Samardzija. So that slot's the one where you have the biggest drop-off. But for me, this whole thing's been fueled by the offense anyway. So as long as you don't trade Brandon Belt or Brandon Crawford or Evan Longoria or Pablo Sandoval, as you were mentioning earlier.
I'm not sure about Belt. You can go ahead and trade Brandon Belt if you'd like.
I don't think so, because if you want to still compete, I don't know how you replace Brandon Belt. What, do you put Buster at first all the time?
Put Lowe at first.
Wow, you're hard on Belt.
He makes a lot of money, and where are we at right now? Like, where are we? He gets, let me tell you something, with that contract in about, I could think of 6 cities right now, he would be booed relentlessly. He has a great situation here with the Giants. The fans like him. They're the Brandons. They do these cute commercials, and everyone finds it to be affable. At that price point, for this level of production in Boston, in Pittsburgh, in New York, in Philly, in D.C., and we could keep going, Chicago, Detroit, there are places that would not be tolerating any of this.
He's having a pretty decent year, Coach, when you look at the numbers. I got to tell you, he's played in 93 games.
Oh,
so
good.
First and foremost.
So he's playing games.
He's playing games.
Huge win.
The big knock on Brandon Belt, one of the big knocks, has been he's been unable to stay healthy. He's played in 93 games. You got to give him that.
I'm not giving him that. If a baseball player plays baseball games, you don't get credit. Okay? That's the base line of your existence. You get paid to play baseball. He's playing baseball. He is now even. No negatives, but no positives.
He's leading the team in games played. So you gotta put that on the board. He is
great.
Second on the team in hits with 74. You gotta score that one as well.
First of all, this is garbage. The context of this is garbage.
Wow.
Compare it to the rest of the National League. Compare it to other first basemen. Do it right. Don't compare it to a lineup that's been terrible outside the last 2 weeks.
Oh, recency bias has taken a hold of me, Joe, so we're gonna keep rolling with this sort of comparison.
Keep going, though. Keep going. You're making a point.
Third on the team in home runs. He's already reached 11. He's on pace to possibly hit 20. Mm-hmm. And, Lo, are you down with OBP?
You know me.
Yes. Thank you. I was hoping you'd say that.
Good job, guys.
367. He's among the leaders on the team in OBP. He's having himself a pretty good year, I got to tell you.
All right. Now we're going to do it my way.
He's mad. Look at Joe. Look at Joe, nice guy.
Let's go with National League first baseman. National League first baseman is what the category is going to be because that's what Brandon Belt is. He is a National League first baseman. Yep. There are 11 who qualify to be in the category for all of these stats,
it's
right?
Basically 3.1 at-bats per game played by your team, I think is how usually how you get qualified.
Good pull.
Thank you.
So I've got 11 guys here that I'm looking at. We'll start with home runs. Belt ranks 10 out of 11 in home runs.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
we'll go to runs next.
Okay.
Hey, Brandon Belt, 7th out of 11. Let's go to RBIs, a stat that's very big on this program today. Brandon Belt ranks, I got to scroll down. Oh, again, he's 10th out of 11.
Hmm.
Stolen bases, wait a minute, he's got three of them.
He can have
he's
a bag.
Tied for second.
Attaboy.
With Anthony Rizzo, Freddie Freeman, and Max Muncy. There's a bunch of them in there. I mean, where else do we want to go?
Joe,
BABIP. I know we're big on BABIP.
Are you down with OBP,
batting
Joe?
Average, balls in play, BABIP. Unfortunately for BABIP. He's last. He's 11th of 11. Batting average, that's a stat the old heads like. Let's go ahead and take a look. Oh, yeah, he's 11th out of 11
there. How about
there.
OBP, Joe?
Let's go ahead and look at on-base percentage because he's been known to draw a walk. He's 5th out of 11
atta
there.
Boy.
Slugging percentage, he is a power guy. I'd like to see him drive in some runs. Ah, he's 10th out of 11.
Yeah.
And weighted on-base average, WOBA. Big WOBA fans in here. Not as big as BABIP, but we love WOBA.
Yeah.
No one can claim we don't love WOBA. I believe he is looking at, this one won't update. Come on, Fangraphs, what are you doing here?
Man, I'm hoping for a good WOBA here, Lo.
8th out of 11. Weighted runs created plus.
That's,
buy the t-shirt.
WRC
tomorrow
plus.
On the website.
Yes, RC Cola.
8th out of 11.
Yeah.
Like, none of nothing. Steals is the only thing he's top five in. We're talking about 11 guys who play first base in the National League who are qualified.
How about his war?
The only top five. You know what? If he's going to ask for it, he's going to get it. That's a fair question.
Yeah.
His war. We all love war around here, too.
Lo's first statement in 5 minutes. How about his war?
9th out of 11. The only ones that are worth are Hosmer and Votto. Votto's having a terrible season.
War's big to me.
War is huge.
You big on war? I'm big on BABIP and Dibs, obviously. Big on OBP.
You know me.
Yeah.
You know I'm down with OBP.
There we go. We can run through that as much as we want. How about his defensive rating compared to the rest? Maybe he's a great defensive first baseman. He's 9th out of 11 there, too.
Mm.
So, not to bag on Brandon Belt. It's not bag on Brandon Belt Day. But again, when we're talking about whether or not we need him for any sort of run, Lo could probably step in there and at least finish just behind Joey Votto.
I'd like to see Lo try to nab a bag. Three steals for Brandon Belt.
Pass ball. He'll get one.
Yeah.
I can steal a base now. I'm not going
to
hit.
Not actually. You would need a ball to get past. You're not fast enough to steal a base. You think?
You think Belt can beat me if we ran 30 yards, 20 yards?
That's a completely different question.
I put money on myself.
You think you could beat Brandon Belt in a race? What would be the distance? 40 yards?
No, 20.
How about first base, second base? Is
that's
fair?
90 feet, which would be 30 yards.
Right.
Flat out running a 30.
You think you win that race?
I do.
Interesting.
I'm not picking against it yet. I'm not joking.
And they call him the giraffe, not the cheetah.
Joe, what's more likely? Lo beats Belt in a 30-yard race, or Guru scores on Jordan Bell in a one-on-one basketball
game?
What
an unbelievably great
that's
question.
Great
some of your finest work.
I hit the text.
That's
what this was our finest hour. This was the finest hour in the history of the Oakland Raiders.
That is peak show right there. Peak show. Two ridiculous hypotheticals coming together to form the ultimate hypothetical. So here's the question. What is more likely? We'll hear it on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. We'll take the phone calls, too. 888-957-9570. Langford and Curley, we're going to come back there for your answers as well. What is more likely? Guru scores one bucket against Jordan Bell. Now, is that a make-it-take-it game, or it's, you know, loser out?
It would be make-it-take-it.
So if Bell makes the first basket, he keeps the ball.
Yeah, Bell. Bell or belt, whatever. I think you said belt, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
it's
we know.
Accuracy
it's
not our finest. Yes, make it, take it. It's make it, take it. Winner's out.
Oh, well, then it's probably going to be a heavy lean to low. You could balance
okay, we'll
it
go
out.
Losers out.
All right, losers out. I think that balance is a little better. Losers out in a game to 11. Yeah. What's more likely? Guru getting one basket against Jordan Bell of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just makes this even odder.
I know.
Or low winning a 30-yard sprint against Brandon Bell. 888-957-9570. Which way are you going? And this is a prison bet. If you get it wrong, you're going to jail.
Man.
Honestly.
Losers
don't
out.
Don't be true. Losers out.
Don't lie.
Don't lie. Be honest.
With your
be
hypothetical
real.
That could send you to jail.
Lie, as 11 will tell you. Friends don't lie. I'm going to have to. Man, it's tough, Lo, because you and I. We've shared dinner.
Yeah, but I'm fine.
It was candlelit.
Yeah.
We had that great walk in Vegas
absolutely.
Where we opened our hearts to
we
each
did.
Other, but the correct answer is. It's Guru. Guru scoring on Jordan Bell is more likely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Brandon Bell's a baby giraffe, but he can pick him up and put him down now.
I've never seen a giraffe run. I got to be honest. Never seen a giraffe run. Been
seen
to the zoo multiple times.
Eat leaves from a tall tree.
I've seen him hang out.
Yeah.
All right. Nice guy, Stephen Langford. What's more likely to happen? Jordan Bell of the Minnesota Timberwolves gives up a bucket to Guru in a game to 11 or Lowe beats Brandon Belt in a 30-yard sprint.
Are we just giving Lowe one chance, just a one dash, or are we giving them like a three-race type of thing?
I think one dash.
Just one.
Yeah, just one
dash. You stretch, you do all your warm-ups, and then you run.
You know
and then
what?
We're done.
Seeing this 73-yard touchdown or 74-yard touchdown that he had literally when I was born, the year I was born, I think he still got it 26 years later. I'm going to go with Lowe on this one, especially after seeing that media tournament game. I love you, Guru, but, I mean, you went 1-for-7 against, like, I forgot what the
Writers.
Eagles were. But, yeah.
Against guys who don't play for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Wow. That was right, kind of a backhanded shot because he's like 26 years ago before I was even born.
Yeah.
Nice guy bouncing back here in the 8.
Yeah. John Curley, producing the morning show here. Welcome to the show. You
My
got
man.
The choice. What is most likely? Dynamite dropping. Most likely for you. Remember, if you're wrong, you're going to prison. Guru gets a bucket against Jordan Bell or Lowe beats Brandon Belt in a 30-yard sprint.
You know, I've thought about this for a few seconds now since you guys brought it up. I looked at the game film from Guru. I'm going to go with the big fella. I look back at his 40-yard dash. He got a 4.8. I still think that's in there. I'm going with Lowe.
All right. I appreciate it.
Again, 1993. It's great. It's a great reference.
I know. The tape you guys are looking at, no one's going to accuse you of recency bias.
You know, he won a sack race in middle school in 1984.
Last year, I beat my nephew. We went to race 20. We went 30 yards. My nephew, Tyler, he's a, you know, shout out. He was an eighth grader. And he could run, though. He played football, kick returner. We get out. Now, he was coming to get me. We got out. Now, out of the hole, I'm strong. I'm going to get out the blocks. I'm telling you, the big fella kick, I got more juice than
if
you guys
I got
think.
Prison on the line, I think this one's easy. I think this one's easy. I'm definitely, and I haven't even debated, I'm definitely taking Lowe for one key reason. If Guru loses, it's a bunch of laughing and jokes, and it's like, you know, I try, and he has that great personality. Lowe will break his body. Lowe will break his body to make sure he wins that race. Lowe will not. If Lowe would lose that race, everything's blowing out. It's going to be like
I'm falling.
The final
jumping.
Scene of Fast and the Furious, trying to get past the train, and you just get blown up. Like that's what's going to end up happening.
How does Belty?
He is 31? Not going to lose that race and be like, it was good times. You know, I gave it my best shot. He's going to blow out everything in the process. Like he's just going to find another gear. That's why I'm going with
Jordan Bell is so susceptible to the pump fake that even though Guru's not a threat to score, all he has to do is pump once. Jordan Bell goes through the ceiling, and Guru with that explosive first step.
That's a great point.
I mean, Jordan Bell is overzealous on the perimeter. I like Guru's chances, and I'm sorry, Lo, but you're no spring chicken, and I know you're coming up here on a big birthday, maybe not this year, but the year after that, and I know how it feels to...
Is 50 a year and a half away?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, the big 5-0.
Yeah, so I'm
such an old show between you two.
I'm a big fan of the big fella, but as the first guy to hit 45 in the room, I know what happens at 45, and it is all over at 45. So
let me tell you something right now.
3 years ago, I like
you
your chances.
If you get him,
yeah,
if
you
get him,
you weren't really a professional athlete, so I'm not going to compare.
I could have been. I chose radio. I wanted to be a radio guy.
Hey,
turn my back on that stuff.
If you can get it, set up. I'll bet you. I'll give you $3,000 if he beats me in the 30.
And
again, like, where does that number come from?
And a year supply of kale.
Pick $3,000.
No, because
it's got to be a year supply of kale in there too. Bet comes with a year supply of kale.
Here's the deal. And I'm gonna make him
probably
pay this
have
time.
To do that.
I'm going even money with you since I'm going up to $3,000. I'm going even money with you if you can set it up. Even money, because you're giving it
Belt's
to him.
Belt's making like $19 million a year to hit 240. He's not going to go run a race for
$3,000. Joe. 243.
Yeah, sorry.
He's 6'4". He's not getting out in front of me. I'm just telling you, you're crazy. Hitting the ball, hell yeah. All that stuff, he'd crush me. I wouldn't even think about stepping on his field.
Yeah, we weren't worried about that either. Yeah, no one here was worried about whether or not you beat him in a hitting contest.
He's 6'4". He's too
long. I love
how
he's willing to concede that.
He's not going to
beat him. If I had to take some cuts.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think about it. He's too long, 6'5". No way he's beating
him. I will say this. In closing, your recent weight loss has me a little bit more concerned. If I can get you at 290, then I love my chances. But at 250 or wherever you are right now, what, 150? I don't like my chances.
Randy,
that's a lot of jiggling.
Yeah, I mean, if he's losing, he's going to go down in flames.
It's
like
jiggling,
he is
going to
break everything. Yeah, there's a little movement there. Three-time Super Bowl champ Randy Cross. It seems like everyone we're bringing on is predicting 10 wins in the playoffs for the Niners. Does he believe the same thing, or is there a darker cloud hanging over Randy Cross's prediction? That's coming up next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Giants manager Bruce Bochy joins the Damon Bruce Show today at 3:30.
High drive. Left field. It is over here.
Bruce Bochy.
Wow.
Today at 3:30.
Right.
On the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.